All right, now we've been talking about here in chapter 2, he starts in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he sets in order a bunch of things here about the aged men, the aged women, the young men. And so tonight that's where we're going to look. We talked about the aged women last week, teaching the young women. And so that's what are they going to teach the young women? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's funny how the Lord knitted these two together, the old aged women, the younger women. Everything that he says here about the younger women is in the context of the older women teaching it to them. Everything. The older women are to teach the younger women these things. That's where they're to get it from. Example and just flat teaching. Telling them. Yes, yes sir. Correcting them. Yes. Encouraging them. Yes. The older women are to take a great interest in the younger women to help them because they need help. The devil's after them just like he's after everybody. And I don't know but what the devil's after them more in our time or any time than he is the young men. Because if you can, you know, if the devil can corrupt and destroy the young women and mess up their, if he can make them dissatisfied with their place in God's order, if he can get their eyes and their sights on something else, their interests, he has destroyed a generation. Women don't, they underestimate the importance, their importance, when it's God in God's order. I don't know, you know, this world has lied and turned things upside down and made women feel like that the most honorable place in the whole structure of our society is demeaning and worthless, you know. I mean, it makes you less of a person to be a mother and a wife. What a wicked lie of the devil. And so, that's where we're at tonight. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Well, you'd think I'd come natural, wouldn't you? To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. Teach them just be good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's what's at stake. Y'all understand that. This is not just like God corralling people into their certain corrals like cattle. You know, young women over here, older women over here, everybody in your place. That's not. The whole idea is that the word of God be not blasphemed. Because the order of society is something that everybody knows, their own conscience teaches them. And when they see people who say they're God's people and they believe the Bible and they won't live like this right here, what I just read, they say they ain't nothing to it. They're fakes and hypocrites. Amen. That's exactly what they say and that's what they believe. And they're pretty well right when it's that way. Yeah. All right, it's the aged women who are to teach the young women. You know, in the time we live in and the times that I've been around churches all through the years, the pastor takes way too much on himself, I think, a lot of times. I'm telling you, right here and now, it's not the pastor's job to teach the young women in the church anything about this stuff. The Bible tells it right out of the gate here, who's responsible to teach the young women this? The older women. Women want to teach Sunday school. They want to preach. They want to have ministries. But how about you just doing what the Bible says here? Instead of trying to make a name for yourself and make money and be famous and be adored by everybody and be some kind of a celebrity, why don't you just go somewhere and get in a church that Jesus bought with his blood and stay there and help these young women to be what God meant for them to be? It's not the pastor himself. He's not to instruct the aged women to teach the young women. I mean, the Bible just says that's what you're supposed to do. First, it's simply the wise, you know, this is simply wise discretion. A pastor has no business counseling or dealing with young women directly by himself. With all the immorality and junk that's going on in our time, you know, any pastor that would counsel alone with some young woman or any woman is very foolish, or he's very wicked also. Ain't that's just very dumb to do that. Never allow yourself to be put in that kind of position. Well, I won't elaborate on that. I'm just making the point here. It ain't his job to do this. It ain't his job to counsel and coddle and privately talk to young women to try to get them to, with the pretext of trying to get them to do this. Second, the aged women are to teach by example, which is a much more powerful influence than words are. And they were young women one time. They're who are qualified to teach the young women. They're the ones who've learned the proper order for the home and the church. Now, if they've lived, the aged women have lived and had a husband, had children, and had a home, maybe still have their husband and all, whatever. They're experienced. They are qualified to teach the young women. And they're an example for the younger women. Because they can look at them and look at their marriage that's lasted 50 or 60 years. That's worth something. Just for the fact that they're still there. That carries a lot of weight with influence. Anybody that's got any sense, young, ought to listen, set up and listen to somebody that's been married 50 or 60 years when they ain't been married 4 or 5. They can tell you something. Men can tell young men, and older women can tell younger women about how to make things work a little better. Now, think, you know, about it all. Third, it's just better for women to teach women about the things that pertain to women. Now, I can say that and be absolutely certain that that's right. Now, women, Bible, they shouldn't be up here teaching the Bible. It's not permitted for the woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man. That's Bible. When it comes to doctrine and running the church and all of that, the business of that, that's not her place. But when it comes to learning how to be a mother and how to love her husband, how to love her children, how to be discreet and chaste and a keeper at home, how to be good and a blessing, she needs to learn that from other women who have set a good example of that. Just as it is for men to teach women things that pertain to men. Wait a minute, let me see here. Just as it is for men to teach men the things that pertain to men. You know, it would be very awkward for a woman to teach a young man how to be brave and strong and manly. It's kind of like the school they made all the loggers go to, and they went to it, and it's a woman teaching them how to cut trees with a chainsaw, and she can't even start the chainsaw. One of the men in the class had to start the chainsaw for her, and I'm not making this up. Where should she have been? And I know this makes people want to murder you nowadays, because we're living in such a wicked time that's so out of order. But where should she be? She ought to be at home with her children and taking care of her husband and her family. And God said so. This ain't Mike Miller's opinion. This is the Word of God and the order of God and what God says about it. And if you don't like that, whoever you are out there in this whole world listening, you just ain't right with God. And you're a rebel in your heart. And you don't love righteousness. And you're wicked. Amen. You get right with God and you'll love the way God ordered things. And so, for a man to teach a woman how to be a good woman is just as out of order as a woman trying to teach a man how to be a man. So it's the women's job. The older women ought to teach these young girls how to cook and how to bake and how to sew and how to do all these things besides what it says here that pertain to a woman. They're to teach the young women to be sober. All right, well, that's the first thing that it says there. What does it mean? It means they're to teach them to have their passions and desires well regulated and under proper control. Teach them to have control of themselves and not to be a flitty little nutty fruitcake. Sober-minded. There's nothing becoming to the female gender about being a ditzy blonde or something like that. That don't help y'all. And men don't really like that anyway. No, it's not becoming. It doesn't impress men. They laugh at you and mock at you and make fun of your gender. Women ought to be just as intelligent as men. They are. What's the difference? They got a brain just the same. So don't act dumb. And don't be dumb. And older women ought to teach the younger women not to act like that. Don't you act like a fool. Talk with sense. Make sense. Pick your words. Act like you got some sense. Talk with intelligence. Like you got an education instead of acting, making everybody think that you're as dumb as a rock. The older women are supposed to teach younger women to do that. You see them acting like that, stop them and say, listen, honey, this is not going to help you. And a lady don't act like that. And if you want to have success in life and have God's blessing on you, be sober-minded. Have your passions and desires well-regulated and under proper control. Passion and desire is a particular weakness and danger of youth in general. Flee youthful lust. When you're young, boy, everything is working. And there's a fire inside of you. And it's a way ahead of your intellectual development and your moral development also. These desires and emotions, along with the energy of youth, they outpace the development of their reason and good sense. And so, they need somebody to say, whoa. They need somebody to say, you shouldn't do that. They need somebody to say, you ain't gonna do that. They need mom and dad to say, as long as you live in my house, you're not gonna do that. So they'll leave. Bye. Do your duty. Be faithful to God. Anyway, they've not yet experienced the damage and the pain that unbridled passion can cause. They've not understood and experienced yet what unbridled anger can do. It'll fill your future with regrets. Lust and self-pity and revelry and foolishness, all these things do that. They'll fill your future with regrets and sorrow. And they don't know that. You don't know that when you're young. It's just all fun and games. And ain't nothing going to happen. And I can do this and get away with it. And everybody else is doing it. And I can do it too. And I'll be fine. But you won't be fine. Yeah. Teach them to be sober. Yes. Older ladies, teach these young girls to be sober. Teach them, try. Say, well, I won't listen. Well, try anyway. Amen. Teach them by example. Teach them when you testify in church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir. Let them know that not being sober-minded when you're young is going to cost you when you're older. For a young woman who has a husband and children, not being in control of her emotions and passions is certain to cause great damage and probably and possibly destruction to her marriage and her home. The foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. It's what she does to her home. Somebody ought to be there to instruct her. Somebody ought to be there for an example for her. Somebody ought to be there to say, whoa, now wait, don't do that. Somebody ought to take her under their wing. Well, the world ain't going to do it. They'll just send her to an abortion clinic and give her birth control pills. Yes! Somebody ought to teach them better than that. Church oughtn't to be like the world. It ought to be different in the church. You ought to be able to find an example in the church to inspire you to live better and to do right. Let me just stop here. I can think of people that I know right now, young women, who are just as religious as they can be. And they're at church every time the doors are open. And they are as far from what I'm talking about here as you can get. They're not sober-minded. They're not in control of their passions. And they're nuts. I don't know how else to say it. Maybe I need a bigger vocabulary. But I don't know any way to put it to you any plainer than that. They're just always on some wild notion. And always, something's always wrong. And there's always some big drama in their life and all of that. And that's what this is talking about. Teaching to be sober and not do that. Yes. Act like a human that's got some sense. A child of God who knows what life's about and knows what the truth is and knows what to do. And somebody's got to help them or they ain't going to be that way. Now, that's just the fact of the matter. They're going to grow up. Wow. Most churches divide them off. They come in the door and they go to the youth department. They go to the Sunday school class. They're separated from any influence from the older ladies. And it's carefully kept that way so that the older women never have a chance. And only when it's like that, the only example they see is their peers who are as much in a mess as they are. And so it just leaves everything without hope. They're to teach the young women to love their husbands. Now, boy, listen. I could really bear into this, and I probably ought to. But older women should never say bad things about their husbands. They should never disrespect their husbands, especially in front of younger women. You're leaving an example to them. Your duty before God is right here. Teach the younger women to love their husbands. You don't tell them, you don't have to do that, and you don't have to listen to him, and he don't own you, and you ain't his slave, and you got your rights and all that. You're wicked. Sure. You better teach that young woman to love her husband. Yep. We're not talking about slavery. We're not talking about oppression. We're talking about God's way. Marriage, a man and a wife that become one. And they belong to each other. Her body's not hers, it's his. And his body's not his, it's hers. They're one. And they're to love one another and cherish one another. And old women ought to do everything they can to encourage these young women to look at this that way. He's my husband. I love him. You promise to love him. You promise to honor him. You promise to cherish him and obey him in sickness and in death, health and in rich or poor, whatever comes, forsaking all others. You promise to do that when you got married. And older women ought to be around to teach the young women to love their husbands. You know, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. It never says, wives, love your husbands. But he does mean for women to love their husbands. It says so right there. Older women, teach the younger women to love your husbands. And so it's obvious that God expects them to. The husband's love is to be first. Just like the husband is in the stead of Christ. That's right. It's just like Christ in the church. The Bible bears it out over and over. It's the great mystery. That's the way it is. The marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And so the husband's love is to be first. And hers is expected to follow, just as Christ's love is first, and we love him because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Do you love him? Why? Well, because he first loved me. Wives, why do you love your husbands? Well, because he first loved you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now I say, well, it ain't that way a lot of times. I know. But the Bible also talks about how a woman can win her lost husband without the word through her chaste conversation that the old women are supposed to be teaching the young women how to be. See? Now, there's a way to fix all this disorder, all this conflict, all this hatred and trouble and broken homes. There's a way to fix it. Everybody's so blinded by all this culture we live in, this degraded to nothing. I don't know how many of you read that article that I put up last night, but you need to read that. That is powerful and amazing. He hit it right on the nose. When people, he studied for a lifetime. He studied 86 civilizations and societies. And he's not even, he don't even believe in God. He's a secular man. But he studied all of his life, and just a summary of it, he discovered that when sexual morality, when you have this sexual revolution like we did here in the 60s and 70s, when a culture does that, they collapse within three generations. Throughout all the history of mankind, the secular man, not even looking for that, but that's what he figured out. And he named all the stages that they go through, how that they go from monogamous relationships and no premarital stuff, control, restraint, and a society flourishes. When they drop that, they become irrational, loco, like they don't even know if they're a man or a woman, male or female. They don't know if they're gay or straight. Yeah. Three generations and you're gone. Every time. All through the history of man. Where are we at? This nonsense started 50 some years ago now. So you figure where you think we're at. We're at the precipice right now. And it's all because people just will not keep things in order. God gave us instructions here. And he laid it out so that it'll work. Yes, sir. The aged women are to teach the younger women these things. They're to teach her to love her husband, which means she's not regarding her role as a wife and mother as bondage and demeaning, but she regards it as a joy and a blessing. That's what the older women ought to inspire the younger women to believe. And the view that they should have of their husband and their marriage and their home and their children, that it's a joy and a blessing and a privilege from God, instead of being dissatisfied and unhappy and feeling oppressed and used and abused and demeaned and degraded by being a wife and a mother. And old women that teach the younger women to be that dissatisfied and think of it that way, they're wicked old women. I don't care if they're a deacon's wife, a pastor's wife. I don't care if they've sat in church for 60 years. They're wicked because they're not obeying the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God, and they're working against God to destroy the whole order of God. There ain't no arguing about that. She loves him. If she loves him, if she loves her husband, she'll work at making home a happy place to be. Did you hear me?
Yes,
sir. I believe that is exactly right. If you love somebody, you're going to try to make life better for them. You ain't going to be the plague of their soul. You ain't going to be their constant foe. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman in a wide house. Did Mike Miller say that? Who said that? God says it in His Word. Better off to live by yourself as far back in the woods as you can get than to be with a woman that's going to oppose you and contradict you and fight you every inch of the way through life. And the older women in the church ought to teach the younger women not to do that. And not to be that way. If a young woman loves her husband, she's at home. She's going to try to make home a happy place. Going to be careful about that. Now, if she loves him, she'll do what she can to make the toil and sorrow of his life less of a burden. She is his help that God gave. Help meet for him. That's not a special word, help meet. We say that together, but it's a help meet for him. She is just what he needs. God made her to be just what he needs to be the man that God wants him to be in life. God made her to fit the position. Yeah. She can take the load off She can make life easier for him. She can make it easier to bear. He goes out in the world and has to fight them all day long and deal with the troubles and the letdowns and the struggle of it all and come home and have to fight with her. Is it any wonder that people are so miserable? It ain't supposed to be that way. He's supposed to come home and be able to leave the troubles outside. Home is a little piece of heaven on earth. Home is the sanctuary where we get away from the world and leave the problems out there. And she, her duty, is to help him do that. If she loves him, she'll certainly not be the burden of his life. But she will certainly be the blessing of his life. If she loves him, now older women, you're supposed to teach young women to love your husbands. Make life easier for them. By the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread all the days of thy life. He didn't say that to Eve, he said it to Adam. Why do you have to do that? Well, never mind. I won't chase that rabbit. But if she loves him, she'll do for him and not against him in his dreams and plans and goals and everything. She'll be for him. That's as simple as it. If she loves him, she'll be for him. She ain't going to fight him. She ain't going to be against him. She ain't going to block him every way he turns. She ain't going to oppose him and question everything he does. She'll not view him with contempt and suspicion and disdain. I've watched women do that through the years, and it's, man, it flames me. I mean, it just, because it's so wrong. It's so wrong. It makes me very angry. It offends me greatly for a woman to treat her husband like that, to speak of him in derogatory terms to other people, to himself. A disrespectful, that let the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's the Bible. That's what God said in Ephesians, the instructions about it. She's to reverence her husband. That's respect. The worldly people have done all these studies, and you know what they say that a man needs more than anything from his wife? Respect. Not what you women think, is it? It's not what most women give their husbands. He needs respect. He's a man. His whole life is a struggle to be a man. And he needs his wife to respect him. And not treat him like he's some fool, like some dummy, like some imbecile that don't know what he's doing. Well... They're to teach the young women to love their children. Well, now you would think that that would be a given. You watch these girls with the babies and stuff, and oh, they won't turn them loose, and they just love them so much. And you'd think that that would be a natural thing. But I'm telling you, sin has corrupted everything. And it's not unusual for a mother not to love her children. The Bible said, can a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, she may forget. Yes, sir. I read this week, one woman hung her two little children, 8 years old and 4 years old, in the basement with dog leash wire. Hung them and killed them. Because she was wicked and vile. And she had a man on the string for the weekend on the internet and nobody to keep the kids. So she just hung them in the basement. Called 911, said that the boy committed suicide, 8 years old. And he didn't want to go alone, so he took his four-year-old sister with him. You read it all the time. They throw them in the dumpsters. They throw them off the side of the road. They're babies. And that's one thing. But I'm telling you, I've seen lots of families that I know where you'd had a hard time convincing me that mother loved her children. She won't take care of them. She won't feed them. She won't cook for them. She won't make sure their clothes are clean for them. She won't instruct them. She won't correct them. She won't teach them nothing. They're just like a burden under her feet. She wants shed of them. Every chance she gets, She leaves them with somebody so she can go somewhere and do something else. Teach them to love their children. Well, let me read what I've got written down here. That ought to be a natural thing, but sin's corrupted everything. A lot of young women have been raised to be so self-centered and selfish that they view children as a burden and an interference in their life. And they really do. Listen to them talk out in public in the stores and stuff. You know, and I've mentioned it before, but I never will forget the time here we were standing in line at Town and Country in Piedmont. And there was a woman behind us with one little kid in the car. And the little one was old enough to talk a little bit. I mean, he could understand what was being said. And she said something to us. I don't know if you knew her or what, but anyway, how many kids you have? And well, we had 6 kids. Oh my goodness, I don't know how you can stand this. This one I got right here is more than I want. I couldn't stand any more like him. Teach them to love their children and to appreciate what God has given them. Boy. They actually look for ways to be away from them and get them out of their hair. They leave them in the hot car in the summertime and go to a bar and let them die in the car. They go to Walmart and shop and let them die in the car. It grieves me to think about all the little children and the cries of the innocence that heaven hears. And all the abuse and mistreatment from women who do not love their children. I mean, in a time when they're killing them by the thousands every day in the womb, and tell me women don't need to be told how to love their children? It's another one of those things where you're sowing regrets in your future big time when you don't love your children and take care of them. So they need to teach them that. For a woman to love her children, she's got to consider them a blessing from God and not a burden that has been cast upon her. When they're little, it's you got your hands full, don't you, Elizabeth? Yeah, that's all your life amounts to. Your life becomes nothing but about those little children. But it's not always going to be like that. They grow up real quick and they change. And first thing you know, they can kind of take care of themselves. It becomes a whole different situation. And you're just sowing for the future. You got to remember that. Somebody held you when you were little. Somebody stayed up with you all night when you were sick, when you were little. Somebody changed your dirty diaper 1,000 times before you finally quit it. Yep. My mom always said you don't pay for your raising until you raise your own. So true. So true. Older women ought to teach these young women to love your children. You better cherish the time because it is mighty short. Time when you've got them so close that you can do anything with them, you can tell them anything, they'll believe anything you say, they'll do anything you say. You better cherish that time and make the best of it. Because it's your little bitty window of opportunity to make a difference in this world. And to sow good things for your future. I saw a thing here a while back and I read it, and it was a guy that was getting ready to be executed in an electric chair, and he wrote a letter to his mom, and that's what he said. He said, "Mom, do you remember the time when I stole this and Dad wanted to punish me and you wouldn't let him? And then the next time it was something bigger and again, Dad wanted to straighten me out and you wouldn't let him. Thanks, Mom." All right, a woman who really loves her children will not be a selfish woman. I've heard so many stories, and I know in my own life too, I've seen the same things. But a mother will say, not eat, you know. I remember Roy talking about his mom, and they had 12 kids, and they was poor as dirt, and they didn't have, you know, hardly enough to eat and everything, and they would have, if they had something special like pie or something, she never got any because she told them she didn't like it. She wasn't first in line. She didn't get her piece out first. No. Let the kids have it. If you love your children, you'll be like that. You won't be selfish. Her life will be spent in caring for them and instructing them and training them to be men and women someday. You just got to understand that that little boy will be a man before you know it. Those little girls will be women before you know it. They'll be young women. And you got to realize that and be aware of that every day that you're dealing with them. I know it gets monotonous, and I know it gets wearisome, and I know you get tired, but the older women need to come along once in a while and say, hang in there. You're doing a good job. If you're doing a good job. All right. A woman that loves her children will not leave their raising to someone else while she does something she considers more important. You know, all the women now have their careers. And children are just, a lot of women ain't even having children. Period. And some of them, a lot of them are having children way later on in life because it interferes with their career. Well, I tell you what, I'm just pretty much of the opinion that they just shouldn't even have children. If that's the way they feel about it, they ain't going to love them children when they get them. Get a dog. Yeah, that's what you need. They're apt to teach the young women to be discreet. That's what they're to do. They're to teach young women to be discreet and chaste. Well, now, do we need to be explained what that means? I think so. Yeah, I don't think it'd do a bit of harm. Just make it plain, Jane, what it says here. Discreet means safe. Be safe. When you're discreet, you're safe. Stay safe with everything. Don't go out on a limb. Don't push the lines. Stay in the safe area with your language, with your dress, with your conduct, with your company, with your entertainment, with your pastimes. On and on we go. Be discreet. Stay in the safe area. Don't risk things. Don't put yourself in questionable circumstances. Don't wear clothes that are questionable about their modesty and the message that you're giving with them. It means prudent. It means wise in avoiding errors or evil. Now there you go again. That's what I was talking about at the beginning. Young women ought to be taught to be sober, intelligent. Thinkers. Not dummies. Otherwise you ain't going to be discreet. If you don't have any sense, you're not going to be discreet. You're always going to be doing stuff that puts you in a bad light, in a bad circumstance, and eventually it's going to cause you real trouble in your life because you're going to get in messes because of lack of discretion. You're going to make mistakes. You know, what about these 14-year-old girls, 11-year-old girls I've read about getting on the internet and getting chat rooms and talking to people and all of that? That ain't using any discretion at all. You are not safe at all. What about women that want to just go out on a town by themselves? Girls' night out. And they all go out a-drinking and a-partying. And besides just being flat stupid and wicked, there's no discretion there. Because you're not being safe. You're putting yourself right out where you can get in big trouble, whether you want to or not. Women need to be discreet. They need to know how to be discreet and use some discretion. A fair woman that is without discretion is like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. That's what the Bible says. That means a woman that ain't got no sense. And she's just always, she'll just do anything, say anything, go anywhere, be anything, you know. No restraints, no wisdom, prudence, carefulness. Older women, supposed to teach young women not to be like that. Now, honey, you don't need to be there, and you don't need to talk to him, and you don't need to do this and this. Well, amen. These are very important traits for young women. If a young woman will not be discreet, she'll soon be in trouble. And that's a fact. Or she'll be causing trouble for her family and her husband if she is married. Because people talk, you know. Yeah, it does matter where you're at, who you talk to, how you dress, how you conduct yourself, how you present yourself. It does matter. It tells people something about you. They get your message. And you may be so dumb that you don't even know that you're giving forth that message. Well, you lack discretion. Right. Somebody needs to teach you if that's the way it is. The only other thing that could possibly be, the only other possibility is that you are wicked and you are looking for trouble. And you're out there for sale to the highest bidder. Or the first one that'll look at you. Now that's the only way it can be. And I've always said, you know, the attire of a harlot, she was selling something. Well, now if it ain't for sale, why are you wearing a sign? If you walked up to a woman dressed like a harlot and said, well, how much? Wonder how offended she'd be. I've thought, I'm just kind of that way. I know better than to do that. But I've thought about it before. Just to show them, my goodness. Ain't you got any discretion? No. Well, let me hurry up here. She should always play it safe in all matters, especially concerning other men. There's a thing about men and women. It ain't all the same. Men and women are not all the same. I read one time that a man and a woman can't be really close, good friends unless one or the other is repulsive to the other one. That's the truth. I believe that's right. Sparks fly. And so a young woman, needs to have discretion. She needs to play it safe so that that doesn't happen. Or that it doesn't look to others like it's happening. That'll cause you trouble in your family. That'll soil your reputation for the rest of your life. It'll soil the reputation of your family for the rest of your life. People don't forget that stuff. Believe me, they don't. She thinks before she speaks. You ever know a blabbermouth? A fool uttereth all his mind, but that you can put a her in there too. Just no brakes, no bridle. What does the Bible say about if you don't bridle your tongue? Your religion is vain, worthless. You ain't got nothing. If ain't no bridle on your tongue, if you just spit out, if you just regurgitate whatever comes to your mind and it comes right out of your mouth, you ain't got nothing going with God. Your religion is vain. Young woman ought to be taught, if she's got discretion, she'll think before she speaks. That's why Grandma always said, before you say something, say it three times in your mind first. Don't just let it fly out as soon as it passes by. A lot of wisdom there. She thinks before she speaks. She looks ahead and is aware of what others might think or assume by what she wears. Now, this is discretion we're talking about. Older women teach young women to be discreet. She thinks ahead about what others might think or assume. I don't care what anybody thinks. It's my body, and if I don't like it, they can turn their head. That's an attitude, ain't it? What she wears, what she says, who she is seen talking to, and where she goes, especially where men besides her husband are involved. Avoid all appearance of evil. Isn't that what the Bible says? Discretion. She should be careful with her reputation. Women used to be a terrible thing for a woman to have a mark on her name, on her reputation, where people thought she was immoral or thought she would be immoral. Women didn't want that kind of reputation, so they were careful about things. And they didn't put themselves in compromising positions. She doesn't just go blindly and stupidly alone with no forethought or care about her presentation of herself and how it affects her reputation. You like to look in the mirror before you leave, don't you? Well, don't just look at what you think about what you're looking at in the mirror. You better think about what other people are going to think when they see what you're seeing in the mirror. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh. See, I'm trying to teach women this, but older women could do a whole lot better job. It'd carry a lot more weight. See, women just think, well, you're a man, and you don't understand. You got your bias and your prejudice and you male chauvinist and all of this, and you just hate women and all this. Baloney. What a bunch of garbage. But older women can talk to younger women and say, I'm telling you, this is what these people are going to think. Well, let me hurry. Young women are to be chaste. Now, that don't mean chaste by men. That means chaste. C-H-A-S-T-E. Different word. You know what it means? Pure. Pure. From all unlawful commerce of sexes. Between the sexes. You understand what I'm talking about? Immorality. She's pure from all that. Chaste means she don't do that. She's not promiscuous. She's not a flirt. Amen. Teach the younger women to be chaste. To be pure. To keep themselves from all of that. Applied to persons before marriage, it signifies being pure from all sexual commerce. Undefiled. Applied to married persons, true to the marriage bed. Free from obscenity. Chaste means free from obscenity. What do y'all think? I mean, does anybody else see it like I do? When you hear a woman using profanity and obscenities, it's just like smelling a dumpster full of garbage and rotten stuff. To me, it is. Here's a fair woman, a woman that's fair to look upon. Women don't understand the concept that men naturally have of women. They're, you know, I don't know how to say it because you'll contradict me no matter what I say, but men have a much higher opinion of women than women have of women, I'll tell you that. Men expect and they assume a lot more about chastity and purity in women than women do. Men just can't imagine their daughter, their wife, these women that look so pretty and so pure, and then obscenity, profanity comes out of their mouth. You discover it in their life that they're really a vile person. It's the ruination of a whole society. When the women get that way, you're done. That's another study and everything that's already been done. I mean, it's just a fact. When the women are ruined and profaned and defiled, and there's no chastity and there's no discretion among them, and they become like these, like what we got now. They're the ones who nurse the children in the first years of their life and teach them how to talk and what to say and how to think. What are we going to have from this generation of profane, defiled women? Liberated. Boy, you got liberated, all right. No, you got put right into bondage. You got ruined. You got lied to and deceived, and you fell for it. This is the way it's supposed to be, according to God's Word. This is the way God designed it to be. And you would be happy. Your children would be happy. Your husband would be happy. And everything would work wonderful. And the next generation would have great hope. Nothing is more unbecoming to the female gender than a young woman who's morally filthy and has a profane mind and mouth. It's just so obnoxious. It's so offensive. There's certainly no place for such disorder in the church and among Christian families. Just one woman like that in a church will cause untold destruction of lives. Y'all listening to me? I know what I'm talking about here. I've seen it over and over. I've watched it happen. I've been in churches over and over and over. I remember certain women. Just as soon as I look back there, it's just like a red light going off back there. I remember certain times and certain looks, and just it sends shivers up and down you, really. They're there. They're in just about all the churches. And I'm telling you, they'll cause great destruction of lives. Because she has great power to influence people and lead others into things that eventually will wreck their lives. And they're there, Bunny. And they're working their wiles. And everybody thinks they're so pure and so clean and so, you know. We was talking the other day. I remember years ago, a certain woman in a church not too far from here. And they sang and they did such a wonderful job. And they just really put on a show. And she was the star of it all. And just impressed everybody so much with her spirituality and her humbleness before God and her talent in singing. And boy, just really, really did. Everybody just praised her and carried on about her. You know what happened? Just a few months after the last time I saw her sing in church where I was at, she ran off with the pastor. Left her husband, ran off with her pastor. She was way older than him too. Now, I ain't saying I'm an expert at spotting them, but I've got a little more educated since then. Yeah. Nothing will make a woman like that more uncomfortable either than when a preacher gets up and starts talking about this stuff. Yeah, amen. Don't go over. Ain't no preacher going to preach this. This is the only place you're going to hear this. I challenge you. Go out there and look for it. Find somebody preaching on Titus chapter 2 about the older women teaching the younger women this stuff. See if you can find it. There's certainly no place for it in the church. So they're to teach the young women to be keepers at home. Oh, why did he have to put that in there? I thought women were all to have their careers. The Bible says they're to teach the young women to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Well, keepers at home means just what it says. Their proper place in God's order for the family is at home with the children. Obama said, yeah, they just want to take us back to the 50s. I said, well, why would that be so bad? What was so bad then? When mothers stayed at home and kids came home from school, mom was at home. They didn't come home to an empty house and run. Huh? I mean, you can just argue with it. You can disagree with it. You can say, I don't believe it. Well, you're going to be in trouble when you stand before God. You're going to give account for feeling that way, for believing that way. When the Word of God is... it's without dispute. There is no arguing about it. There's no way to dissect this and make it mean something else besides what it means. The older women are to teach the younger women in the church to be keepers at home. Stay home with your children. Now our world has rejected this important commandment of God and is reaping the consequences. Look at the children. Look at the young people. Look at our society, and it's collapsing. And it has much to do with this. Young women are particularly vulnerable. Why should they stay home? Well, because they're particularly vulnerable to temptations when they're out in the world and away from their husband and children on a regular daily basis like a job requires. Now, you ain't going to tell me. I'm 62 years old, and I've been in this world for a long time, working. I've been around all this, and you ain't going to tell me that a young woman in a workplace ain't in danger of getting in trouble. Now, you can just say, well, you're just dirty-minded. Oh, you're a fool if you think that. I know what goes on. I know what went on 50 years ago in the workplace. I can't imagine now what it's like. A bunch of barnyard animals is what it's like. I could get a lot more graphic about it, but I won't. But I'm telling you, that's just one good reason, besides the fact that God said so, for her to stay where she belongs. You want to keep things happy at home? Yeah. If they don't stay at home with the children are deprived of the most important person in their life when they need him the most. Oh. She worked when we were young, when Seth was a baby. She worked for a while, and she cries once in a while, still thinking about leaving you up there at the daycare. Remember when you was in kindergarten? Well, I don't even know you was in kindergarten, but they'd make you take a 3-hour nap a day, and you'd lay in there by the wall and cry. While Mama's out making a few bucks so she can just have enough to buy gas to get to work and buy part of the groceries. And I know it's hard to make a living. You ain't telling me nothing about that. But you got to figure on a bigger deal than what you're... And I know that circumstances, you know, I understand everything about how hard it is, and you got to do what you got to do sometimes for a while, but you better keep this in mind. This is the right way, and this is my goal, and this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it as soon as I can figure it out. Instead of saying, well, I just don't see why you think that it's that way, and I just believe that you can be right with God and still just do what I want to do. Instead of fighting against God's order and God's way and God's word, why don't you just believe it and submit to it and do your best to put yourself in the place where God means for you to be. And that goes for everybody. Aged men, aged women, young men. Everybody. No one loves them like their mother should, and no one can take their mother's place. And boy, that's so true. You can watch Esther's little one back there. It's funny to me because everywhere she goes, this one's a little more so this way, but she's always looking for Esther. And if Esther's there, she won't look at you. She's looking at her. She's just locked on. Like... And people, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm being kind of rough tonight about this because there's just so much wrong done in this area. People, and I know everybody here, and I know how everybody struggles, and I know you're doing the best you can. But I'm talking about these people that just buck up against God's way and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to have my career, and I'm going to do this, and I ain't going to stay home, change diapers, and mess with whiny kids. That's who I'm really nailing. That's who I'm aiming at. It's wrong. Older women ought to teach young women. And the thing about it is, people like that influence wobbly young women in the church. They get around them, they listen to that, the world's full of it. Anything they read, any show they watch, any movie they watch, anything. Hey, you know Disney's always been doing this. Have y'all been reading about Hallmark? Yeah. What they're up to now? Pretty soon you're going to be seeing gay couples on Hallmark Christmas movies. How you like that? Yeah. But now they're openly saying. Now it's public. Instead of just sneaking it in on the sly, they're saying that, well, we got to do it. We're going to do it. We're okay with it. Well, I ain't okay with it. I don't have to have that. Why do you have to have? Well, it's a Hallmark movie. So what? If that's the real deal, I don't have to have a chicken sandwich from there. I can fry me some chicken at home, or she'll do it for me. And I'll eat a sandwich at home with pickles and Chick-fil-A sauce. All you got to do is take barbecue sauce and honey mustard, mix it together, and you got Chick-fil-A sauce. It don't mean so much to me. I hate this evil world, and it's hatred for God, and it's rebellion against God and what's right more than I love their sandwiches or their movies. Obedient to their own husbands doesn't mean that they jump on command, but that they support him and they help him and they don't oppose him and resist him in his efforts to fulfill his God-given role as the head of the family. Obedience. That's what it means. She's in her place. It ain't he's got his thumb on her and, you know, jump, shake hands like a dog. That ain't what it's about. She's for him. That's what the older women are supposed to teach young women to do. Love your husband. Be for him. Don't fight him. Don't make his life miserable. Don't make it a struggle for him. Take the load off. Bear some of the burden. Make it easier for him. And it's easier for him if he just don't have to fight you when he comes home from work after a whole day of putting up with that out there. You don't know how much that's worth. If the young women refuse to live according to God's ways, those on the outside will blaspheme God because of it. If you're like the world, young woman, then all of the people that know you and see you, they're not going to believe you're a Christian, and they're not going to believe there's anything to this Christianity stuff because they know better. They know that it's not supposed to be like that. And that's why when you got a young family like Seth and them, you know, and the kids are bigger, and you go out in public, or even like Elizabeth's and Gary's kids here. I mean, Dorothy's getting big enough now. You dress them like little girls and boys, and you go out in public, and it just, I mean, you get way more attention than you want. Don't you, Elizabeth? Why? It's a family. It's a mother. And a father and little children that look like boys and girls. This is so unusual. But it's right. That's what you get from all of them. They're all so impressed because they know. They just know this is the way it's supposed to be. And a lot of those people who give you so much attention, they're people who have been deprived of this in their own life. They married some woman that hated being a woman. And wouldn't make a home, but destroyed her home. And they're looking at your children and saying, I wish that could have been me. That's why it's so important. So important to worship together. That's why we don't have children's church. Kids need to be in here together. They need to be where they can see and hear and talk to older folks. And see that example. And hear that counsel. It's right. It's good stuff. Amen. Well, stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer. Boy, the devil really done a number on the women when he convinced them that they were being mistreated and demeaned and all of that by being a woman. He really did a number. He knocked one of the pillars of society and religion plumb out from under everything. That was one of the foundations that he destroyed. More depends on the women being right than everything else. It really does. You know the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You made mention a while ago, Seth, that song we sang, Charles Wesley wrote that song. Well, we've all, if you've been in church and you've done any reading, heard, listened to much preaching through the years, well, you would know who Charles Wesley was. But you wouldn't just know who Charles Wesley was, you would know who his mother was. Susanna Wesley had 26 children. John Wesley was number 20 or 21, somewhere along in there. Anyway, there was John Wesley and Charles Wesley out of those children, and I don't know what all the rest of them did, but I mean, she made a difference in the world. Think about it. By being a mother. And given her life for those children. And to raise them to be somebody that would make a difference for God in this world. You need to resolve to be that. You young women, You need to resolve to listen to the counsel of older women who are godly and a good example. You need to seek them out. And the older women need to look for a place where you can help them and encourage them. Help them. Help them. Another thing about it is they remember being young and tired and sleepy and wore out and sick and just wore to a frazzle. Amen. All right. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Things like this are so thrilling because it's so true and it's so right and it's so easy to preach because it's just absolutely the way you meant for it to be. And everybody knows it. Lord, everybody in this generation, there's so many that rebel against it. So many who are just ignorant about it. So many who've just swallowed the lies of the world and don't understand. But the ways of the Lord here are certainly evil spoken of in this generation we live in. But Lord, it shouldn't be so inside the walls of the church. It shouldn't be that way. The truth ought to be spoken, and that's what we did here tonight to the best I could. Please help it to be understood, to be received with the right spirit. And Lord, as it's intended to be help. Help for our families, help for our marriages, and help for the future that lies before us. Lord, we must have young women who will be mothers, godly mothers, who will love their husbands and love their children and be chaste and discreet and keepers at home and good to their husbands and their family. Virtuous woman is hard to find. Her price is far above rubies, but Lord, I pray you'd give us some of those. And help the ones we have, Lord, to continue on in spite of the resistance from the world and the battle and the resistance from the devil that he puts up against them. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.